You're listening to The Bossy Type, your unconventional how-to for building a bold business or personal brand through the power of words and sometimes other creative stuff. I'm Elise, director and head writer of Bossy Copywriting, home of bold clients, funny writers, and the occasional swear word. Every Tuesday and Friday, I'll be sharing my bite-sized wisdom, quizzing creative experts, and chatting with the brands you wish you were. So make a f***ing margarita and join me for The Bossy Type, where we make words and brands our bitch. Before we get started, a quick PSA. Head to bossycreative.com to download my very free, very juicy guide to building a bold brand. It's packed with loads of tips from Bossy's favorite creative experts and covers everything from copywriting to graphic design to social media to marketing to everything else. Okay, hit subscribe now because we all know you're going to forget, and let's get started. Hi, welcome to episode 16 of The Bossy Type. So first of all, an apology. Last week I took an unexpected hiatus from The Bossy Type. Basically, I got told that my house needed urgent repairs and I had to move out of the house for a week, which turned into 2 weeks. I was living in an Airbnb with a suitcase. My shit scattered between two houses. It was not my finest moment. So I didn't really have enough time to life, let alone podcast. So it meant that I had to take a break, but I promise I won't make it a habit. Anyway, let's talk about today's very exciting guest. I am chatting with the Melanie Mitchell from the Sunday Agency, my work wife and brand building extraordinaire. Mel and I have been working together ever since I started Bossy in 2016, and I have absolutely loved every minute of it. Basically, Mel and I both have our own clients, but then we come together for large projects where the client wants to invest in brand strategy, creative, tone of voice, the works. We also regularly work with Ash from Pep Creative, who takes care of all the social elements. So today, Mel and I are on the podcast talking all things branding. It's obviously quite an in-depth topic, but I also feel that branding can be a little bit confusing if you're just starting out. So Mel is going to really break down what branding is, her creative process alongside her incredibly talented designer, Casey, and her DIY tips on building a bold brand that aligns with you and your audience. A quick heads up, Mel and I had so many technical issues recording this episode. I'm blaming Mercury retrograde. Our recording cut out at least 10 times and we almost lost the entire thing. So apologies if there is anything weird in this episode. I'm sure you'll still get loads out of it. Enjoy.
Good morning, Mel.
Good morning, Elise. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. So Mel is in sunny Queensland wearing her breezy white shirt while I am trapped inside in Melbourne still. How has your week been in sunny Queensland, Mel?
It's been really good, actually. I'm sorry that you are still in lockdown.
That's okay. Very, it's not your fault.
No, but I am sorry. It's been a really good week here. Really productive and, sunshiny, as you said.
Amazing. So I will have given you a little bit of an intro before this. Mm-hmm. And basically you're like one of my work wives because we are pretty much married Monday to Friday.
We are. And sometimes weekends, depending on deadlines.
Yeah. And I feel like our structure is probably kind of like a podcast episode in itself because it's me, it's you. Then we obviously also work with Ash from Pep Creative who does the social. And, yeah, I feel like even that setup is an interesting story because we've been doing it for, I don't know, I thought maybe 5 years because you have had your business for 5 years, but then I realized I haven't even had Bossy for 5 years.
Well, I think that you started Bossy a year after. So we and then we pretty much started working together as soon as you started Bossy. And, it would have been 4 years ago.
Yeah, so Mel and I do lots of projects together, obviously me on words and Mel doing all the amazing brand building and creative, and then Ash usually does the social. So maybe we can like all get together and do another episode on that.
That would be fun. Yeah, that would be fun. Probably more laughs than this one even.
Yeah. Very true. So for those of you who don't know you or don't follow you yet, can you maybe give us a little bit of a rundown on who you are, what you do, how you got here, I know you've just had a big rebrand as well, so maybe you can touch on that.
Yes, sure. Okay, so I've actually been in the advertising and marketing industry for 15 years. I started actually working in advertising when I was quite young. So I did an internship at uni and I was able to get an actual full-time position at News Corp. So I've been doing it for quite a while and started in ad sales. I did a lot of kind of sport and entertainment advertising, which meant there was a lot of partnerships and brands. So it wasn't just selling ad space, it was selling like a whole partnership with the publisher. So the Korea Mail or the Sunday Mail at that point. So that was kind of my first step into the advertising world. After a few years, I did some radio and a little bit of TV stuff as well. And then I moved over to London and I ended up staying there for 5 years. Started in a digital ad sales role, and then moved into Viacom, which was probably my favorite of all the roles that I did in media. So at Viacom, we had brands like MTV, Nickelodeon, and Comedy Central. Those brands were like incredible to work for. So much fun. It was really intense in terms of like the workload and my role there, but also like very much work hard, play hard, and heaps of perks. Like, you know, we would take clients to the EMAs in Europe and we would take them to music festivals that MTV sponsored. And it was,
oh my God.
I would kind of explain to anyone who hasn't worked in media in the UK, it's kind of like a bit of a Wall Street, but for media. So
Yeah. It's
like you have budget to entertain your clients and to take them out and to do things. So super fun, but on the career side, really challenging and also like really fun and creative. So my role there was partly digital ad sales. So that was putting brands that wanted to reach our audience, putting their ads on our websites. And also part of that, because it was really just at the time that social media was becoming like a platform in itself. And MTV had a really big Twitter following and a really big Facebook following. So a lot of the big brands that wanted to reach that audience, and our millennial audience is kind of your 16 to 34s, they wanted to be on the MTV social media platform. So we had to get really creative with the way that we sold partnerships at that time. So I was there probably about 4 years at Viacom. Then I moved back to Australia and I started consulting. So my first kind of agency was a consulting agency, and it was my first role was to help a music agency get brand partnerships. So they specialized in all things
music. I remember that.
Yeah. So that I actually did that for about 9 months. I love that agency. They're WMA. They basically do all of the creative stuff for music artists, and they're based in the UK. They've got a couple of offices in America now as well. And then I kind of got another consulting gig for sport, which was something that I used to do when I lived in Australia. So it was just kind of an easy, yeah, I know what to do. So it was around when that project finished up that I realized that although I loved consulting, I really wanted to kind of hold on to my clients. And when you do consulting at a senior level, you pretty much set the project up, use all your expertise, and then you help the team run it without you, because they don't really want to keep a consultant at a senior level ongoing. So yeah, it was about then that I decided I think I must want an agency, because I want to hold on to projects and I want to see it further than just launch. And that's probably around the time I met you as well. So then it's kind of grown and evolved since then. So we started doing a lot of design and strategy projects, and we still do that now. But I think at the start we didn't have our own formula, and that's definitely something we have now and which we've worked with you on as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I had the agency, which was M Media Strategy at that point, because that was what I called the consulting firm, because that's what I did. And just this year I've rebranded, and we've rebranded to the Sunday Agency for lots of reasons. But one of the big ones is last year I opened a restaurant as well. So just because I wasn't clear enough.
And not just any restaurant, a Mexican restaurant.
Yes, I did. And that's kind of why I'm in Queensland as well. So opened the restaurant and like loved doing all of the branding. And we've done heaps of food and drink brands in the kind of 5 years that we've been open. So it was just like a bit of a natural fit, but definitely the process of rebranding from M Media Strategy to the Sunday Agency has been like super interesting for me to go through the process myself and understand like why I needed it, which is really helpful for how I'm dealing with clients since then, because I understand more of like where they're at and what they need to see when they're doing a rebrand. Yeah, so that brings us to now.
I feel like with the rebrand, that's kind of another podcast in itself, because it's been such an interesting journey. And even having like one really successful brand or business and then completely changing it, it's not as easy as just changing the name and the colors. It's like so much more involved. It's the whole personality. It's everything you do, everyone you work with. So yeah, I know it's been pretty busy for you.
Yeah, totally. And I think that one of the things that I realized, and it's very aligned with your podcast, is my old brand was very much like it had to be me because it had evolved from my consulting business. But as the team grew and our clients grew, we really needed a bold brand to match that. And we had like a really distinct way that we did things, but our brand wasn't matching the way that our service had evolved. So yeah, I agree with you. It can be covered in probably an hour of a whole other.
Yeah. So true. And now I think that you've got the Sunday Agency and you're like really clear on what you do and who you serve and what you offer, I think it also makes it like it's more aligned with you. So you're a bit more motivated. You're really excited to work on these projects. And I mean, we've done food and drink clients in the past and they're always so fun.
Totally. And I think that's probably like the key point for anyone listening. If you're feeling really kind of stagnant in your business, there's a good chance that either the brand or the business or you as a kind of triangle, if you visualize that, aren't aligned. So you're like out of sync with it. And often it's just because you've changed what you care about and you didn't change it within your business, so it's not being communicated. And that's a huge role that, you know, your brand should play in representing you and your business. So
yeah, and I know that that's something that you work with your clients on, is like finding a connection between them and the brand to make sure it's really sustainable. Okay, so let's maybe talk a little bit about branding, as I know that's your definite area of expertise. So first of all, what the F is branding? Because I feel like it can be a bit of a grey area, a little bit confusing, especially if you're not in the industry or you're just starting your very first brand, for example. So when we think about branding, what are the sort of elements that it includes or involves?
Sure. So in the most simplest form, your brand is the identity of your product or your service or your business, basically. And that's why we talk lots about strategy and then the visuals and all the elements with it. So your brand is your identity, and the identity is what connects with your customers, which we know is so needed for people. They connect with people and they connect with businesses that behave in a certain way that appeals to them. So when thinking about your brand as an identity, you can kind of think of it as like a person or a friend that you know. So there's all these elements to them, right? So there's their personality, their voice, how they behave, like what motivates them, what gets them out of bed each day, what they're interested in, and then also like kind of what clothes they wear, like how do they express their personality, how do they style their house, what car do they drive. So if you think about it in that way and you transition that over to a brand and to a business, that's a really kind of easy way to think about the elements and how you can't have a well-rounded brand if you don't have all of those elements. So in terms of brand speak, those elements are your brand identity. So that's the strategic stuff, and that's your tone of voice, which is where you come in, and your brand personality. Also like the brand values, its vision for the future, if it has a mission, anything like that. So that's kind of the internal stuff. And then you've got your visual brand identity, and that's your logo, your color palette, your fonts, any like icons and other visual elements that help convey the internal part of your brand. Yeah, and then on top of that, you've got obviously your social media and your content, and that's more of how the brand behaves. So if you think of it as actions that the brand takes, that's kind of the well-rounded brand.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting, or I think a lot easier to understand when you split it up like that. You know, you've got the core stuff, which is, as you call it, the brand ID. So, yeah, your vision and your values and all of those things that really matter to you, and then you've got the visual ID, which is all the fun stuff. So I think that really makes it a lot clearer when you split it up, which is perfect for people that are just starting out.
Yeah, totally. And I think once you understand those steps, and if you're really new to it, you can do your research on each element rather than just like what is branding. It's what are each element and how do they fit together.
Okay. And do you have any favorite bold brands specifically that you've worked on or created, or any brands that you know of that really illustrate amazing branding that covers both the core stuff and the fun stuff?
Yeah, sure. So lots and lots of fun brands kind of that I've worked on. One really fun example is one that we did when I was at MTV in London, and that was for Lucozade energy drinks. And they basically wanted to reach like a millennial audience. And I'll just explain. So if you don't know what Lucozade is, so Lucozade is like an energy drink, but there was this kind of stigma around it because when kids were sick at home, Lucozade is a drink that your mum would give you. So I think like lemonade's probably that for us here. It's like if you're sick, your mum will give you some lemonade, yeah. Like belly sick. So Lucozade is that. So they were really trying to be like seen as like an energy drink, which they are, with their core audience, which is kind of 18 to 24s, or even maybe 34s. So we kind of had a problem to overcome, and we basically launched like a whole series of events with MTV and a specific campaign called Pimp My Summer Ball. So like playing on the Pimp My Ride thing that MTV does. But what that did is it gave us an opportunity to promote something on social media that was a distinct partnership. And it was about bringing that brand, giving people in their audience like heaps of value. Like, what do they like doing? They're at uni, they're partying a lot, and they have these like big summer balls, which is like just like an event at the end of the year, but it's more like a mini music festival kind of fate. So pimping,
oh my God, fun.
So pimping it was like MTV would spend 50 grand, like bringing everything to this one winning kind of ball. So that was super fun because it was really bold and different to anything Lucozade had done in that space. In terms of like one, like brands in the market that maybe people could have a look at and see as a really good example, I think Four Pillars Gin is a really brilliant example of a consistent brand. So they're an Australian gin brand, and I guess unless you drink gin, you may or may not have heard of them. But they tick lots of boxes because they've got a super clear and fun tone of voice, a little bit sweary, a little bit Australian, but still that kind of affluent voice. They do heaps of great collaborations and partnerships and product seeding and influencer stuff. If you visit their social media, you'll see their imagery is super clear and premium, and that really reflects that they're like a premium gin brand. And I think that's where a lot of brands can go wrong, is if you're not keeping everything true to your brand. If you're an affluent brand, then you need to spend that money on having the right photography and everything with it. So, yeah, and I mean, Four Pillars Gin are lucky. One of their founders has a creative agency. So,
oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so they're three guys that kind of partnered together to create the brand, and yeah, one of them happens to be in branding and creative. So, but yeah, definitely one. If anyone wants to check them out, you'll see if you just scroll through their social media posts, there's a real consistency there.
Perfect. That's a really good example. And I guess when you're thinking about branding as it's rolling out, so obviously, you know, Four Pillars is a good example because they have so many amazing partnerships and things like that where they bring out new flavors and all sorts. What else does branding kind of roll into? Like when I think of branding, I think about the amazing Instagram feed, the unboxing, things like that. So are they the kind of areas that branding really comes to life?
Yes, all the visuals and everything that someone sees is totally part of the brand. But also it's more about as well like the meaningful connections that brand can make. And that's a lot about content. So, you know, content marketing has become like a huge thing in the last 10 years, but like kind of more and more now, in the last kind of 3-4 even. And what that means is that customers want to connect with a brand that does things that they care about. So that's where like partnerships and collaborations and stuff come into play. So the things that we're talking about, like your unboxing experience and all of that, are touch points for the brand, but they're like the extra kind of cherries on top for like what that core strategy is. And that's your personality and your values and how that connects with the consumer.
Okay. Yeah, that makes total sense.
Yeah.
And if somebody was thinking about starting a brand and they really wanted to have some amazing branding so they could even have a chance of competing with some of their competitors,
yeah,
what do you think the difference is between DIYing your branding or hiring a freelancer or going the whole hog and working with an agency? What are the benefits of going all the way and working with an agency?
Yeah, sure. So starting out, I mean, we all started our businesses at kind of base level, and then you grow and you get some more money and you put it into your business and your brand. So I guess the difference is really the like team of expertise you have around you to do it. So if you're starting out and doing it yourself, you're kind of researching everything, and you know, unless you've been in kind of brand marketing, advertising or anything before, it's new, so you've got to learn it and then you've got to action it. When you get a freelancer, you're getting one expert in their key area. Some freelancers like amazing and have like multiple expertise. But for example, if you're getting a designer, they might have experience in digital and graphic design, but not necessarily in copywriting, for example. So they might be putting together a creative for you. So say it's like some social media tiles or a flyer or an email newsletter, and putting copy in it that you might not realize isn't quite spot on to your voice or the message that you need to convey. So then when you start working with an agency, you're getting like a full team of experts. So in various areas of branding, advertising, marketing, social media, depending on the agency. For example, with us, you're getting like a whole team of people that are thinking about you all the time. So you're part of our work in progress meetings. We're always thinking of ideas, even, you know, on the weekends when we're looking at.
Sometimes in the middle of the night.
Yeah, sometimes in the middle of the night. Often in the middle of the night, actually, for you and I. So in terms of what that means regarding like workflow, is that we're doing all of the bits and pieces that keep the whole team connected to your project and your brand behind the scenes. So yes, it's an amazing time saver because you don't have to do all of those things, but also it means that the ideas that the team are working on are often something that we all come up with together. So your design is an idea at the start, and then it's discussed with copywriter and strategy, and then coordinated and then mocked up. And then by the time you're getting, you know, a piece of work that's ready for you, it's been through all of the processes and everyone's checked it from their own specific area. So yeah, that's kind of the main differences there.
So okay, let's talk a bit about the process, because I know you do it so well. So can you maybe start with brand ID, because that's really all the core foundational stuff. What would be involved in this part of the process?
So with the brand identity, we cover a few key elements. So one is the brand values, which I've mentioned. Your brand values are, in the most basic terms, what motivates your brand. So why does it get out of bed each day? And some examples of brand values could be being environmentally friendly or sustainable if you're in the product space. It could be that you're like pushing creative boundaries if you're a creative. It might be, one of ours is relationships. So having really, deeper relationships with our clients and the collaborators that we work with, because that for us produces the most creative work. So you can do your values by just literally writing a big list of what you care about and honing in on that. The way that we do that with clients is we actually hold a workshop to kick off the whole process. So the workshop, when we're doing it with Bossy, we have a Zoom call and we have a load of questions that we go through to help us understand the client or the team of clients, what they care about, where did the business come from, like what motivated them enough to start the business in the first place. And that kind of allows us to get really kind of deeper and involved in what the personality of the brand should be as well. So, you know, if they say they want something cool and sassy, we need to decide what cool and sassy means for them, and how being cool and sassy would communicate the brand values, for example. So with the tone of voice and the personality, we come up with taglines and examples, and we've been doing a lot of like how to get into character lately, which is fun.
My favorite.
Yes, exactly. And it's a really good way if one of our clients isn't super confident with, you know, writing in their brand voice, for example, there's like little tips and hints on how they can get into character. So that's kind of the most important parts of the brand identity, or the brand playbook, as we call it. And we always do that before we do any of the visuals of the brand.
Okay, that makes sense. And how important at this point is really nailing your target audience? Do brands need to worry a lot about what their audience thinks, or is it okay to be polarizing? And why, I guess, is it so important to narrow down your audience at this point, rather than just like letting yourself be open to any client that wants to buy or work with you?
Yes, sure. So one of the other activities that we do kind of within the workshop and then we present back in the brand playbook is your dream customer profile, or your target audience profile. So when you're starting out in business, and I know this because I did the same thing,
exactly what you're going to say. You don't want to cut yourself off from people. So you don't want to narrow down your audience too much.
Yes, exactly. So it can be kind of a little bit tricky and overwhelming to think of one target audience when you're first starting. And I think that's why having an agency or like a brand expert, even if it's a freelancer or someone, help you with that, because they're thinking about it not just from inside the business. They're thinking about how your business and your brand will connect with your kind of target audience. So it's super important to do this upfront. And what we need to do with that profile is not just understand like how old the kind of dream customer is, but we need to like have a think about like, what do they do? Where do they hang out? That kind of helps lead your social strategy. Things like, What are they interested in? What podcasts do they listen to? What keeps them up at night? What do they worry about? How can you help them with what you worry about, with what they worry about? So all of that really helps set the tone. So it's really that audience profile and the personality that help develop the rest of the branding, including the visuals.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And the audience is something that I really concentrate on too. And I'm a bit similar in that, obviously, you know, I go really in depth with this. So I'll even find people that I think that, this persona would follow on Instagram or what they're listening to on Spotify. And then I try and find a picture of what they might look like. And I feel like fleshing out that customer profile makes such a difference. And you can kind of have an idea of how you want your brand to come across. But then as soon as you have that, I feel like it just makes it so much easier to figure out how they speak, how they act, what colors they like, all of that sort of stuff.
Totally. And I think, like, an example, and to be like super transparent. So we, when we started as M Media and we did like loads of different creative projects, it's like been anyone in any industry. Like we've worked on, I mean, law firms through to gin brands, through to interior designers, health food brands, so many different things in all different industries. And then when I really sat down and thought and did what we do for clients for myself, I got super clear on it and I actually named them. So I've got kind of Amber, and she is kind of getting into the world of food and drink. She's been in corporate, but she wants a change and she's always had a passion there. So I've created a profile, which means that when I'm working on content or social media posts, I can think about what Amber needs. And then I've got Justin and I've got Lana. So I really think about those people when I'm creating the content, and it helps so much. So even though it might feel like a little bit strange to kind of make up a person, you know, you're going through a questionnaire and you're creating someone that you can speak to more easily, which is so helpful. And in terms of a polarizing brand, I mean, I think we're kind of two businesses that are definitely doing that. You've got the super bold voice, and I've just completely niched into food and drink. And that was like super scary because I was like, what if someone else comes along? And they do, and they still will. But if we had our ideal day, it would be working on food and drink brands. So we're just going to go for it.
Yeah, it can be really scary when you niche down a lot. And I know I've spoken about this in previous episodes, even me niching down from the other services I offered down to copywriting.
Yeah.
And then obviously creating a really polarizing voice. But I feel like that for me is probably the thing that has made the most difference in a positive way. And I have more clients and more aligned clients, which is the most important thing ever since I did that. So for anyone that's really concerned about being polarizing or niching down too far, I really wouldn't worry about that. I think it can only work in your favor. And I think you would agree, Mel.
Yeah, totally. You've got like a whole pool of people that want to connect with a brand like yours, whether that's audience specific or the way it behaves. And it might take a little while to adjust. You'll have like an adjustment period, especially if you're like us with a rebrand where people need to know what you do now, but it will pay off in the future because you're looking at doing more of what you love. And in terms of that, like with service-based businesses as well, like not only with brand, but with what you offer, it will change, just like yours did with offering styling, which you don't do anymore. We've had a similar thing where we're like, well, we don't really love doing websites. We love doing the whole brand and how it comes to life, but the actual development of a website, it's actually a lot more technical work, and we're super creative and we love doing that. So we've found partner agencies to help us with that instead. And that didn't happen straight away. It's only happened in the kind of last 12 months. So it's just being aware of, I think, checking in with yourself and your brand and, you know, what you love doing and what works, and making sure that you're pivoting your brand and explaining that to your target audience.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any tips just on the brand values and I guess even the promise and the mission, which I know is something that you cover as well, on like how do you research those things? Or if you aren't sure what your values are, you know, some brands might just instinctively know that they are a sustainable brand and that's really important to them. But do you have any advice for kind of digging into your brand and figuring out what your values, promise, and mission are if you're not really sure and you just know that you want to start something?
Yeah, I do. So one of the things that we do in our workshops is we look at your personal values and then your business and brand values. And a kind of really quick way to do this if you're if you want to do it at home by yourself is to grab a pen and paper and write at the top of the page, in the context of my business, what is important to me, and list out everything. Just empty your brain onto the page and add anything that you can think of. So it could be, you know, profitability, it could be creativity, it could be product sales, it might be client relationships. So heaps of different stuff. So get it all on paper, and then on another page, do the same but for yourself. So do in the context of your life, what's important to you. And that's where you're going to come up with things probably like friendships and family and health and balance and lifestyle or travel or whatever it is. But if your values, your personal values and your business or brand values aren't clicking, like if you're not seeing something, so if you're super environmentally aware in your personal life and then within your brand you're doing plastic packaging, that's not going to sit right with you, and you're going to be super disappointed and probably unmotivated. So that's a really like base level example, but that's what you want to make sure of when you're just starting out on working on your brand.
And so obviously another big part of the brand ID is my personal favorite, tone of voice. Yeah. So I think it would be handy for people just to kind of hear how we might work together on that, because obviously I have my own tone of voice clients, but then if a client also needs the branding and the visuals and the creative and all that other fun stuff, then we often team up together. So maybe you can just give like a bit of background into how we might team up to work on some of our clients, and I can kind of share a little bit about tone of voice as well.
Perfect. Well, it works the other way as well. So sometimes we get clients that want all of the branding, and often for us, we won't do the visuals unless we've done the brand identity, which is that first step. And most of the time that's a Bossy and Sunday collaboration. So we work almost as one team, which I think you touched on at the start is quite unique. But we actually talk all day, every day anyway. So when we get a new project, we brief each other in pretty much right at the starting point. So we're meeting the client at the same time, and we usually do the workshop together. If not, I'll do the workshop and you'll usually send over a tone of voice brief for the client to fill out. But I guess for us, the way that we work together is that we come up with the initial, like the big idea together, and then we work out how that idea can come to life through the voice and the personality. And usually I'll have an idea of the values and I'll say to you, okay, this is what the brand cares about. We need to make sure that that's reflected in the personality. And then from that point, you'll do all of the writing and come up with the character, the audience profile, and then I usually go back and rewrite the values in the correct tone of voice.
That was a great summary.
Was it? Good.
Yeah. I feel like because it can be tricky kind of working out the balance between the branding and the tone of voice, especially if it's like two different people working on it.
Yeah.
But yeah, coming up with that concept I feel like is such a key first step. And it really shapes everything else. So we'll come up with that very first concept. I'm just trying to think of an example of that concept. So obviously for Yours Only, which is Ash's skincare line, the concept was really around supporting people with allergies and making it a little bit more optimistic and more positive and less of a downer.
Yes.
So that really helps shape the voice, and we obviously wanted the voice to be really confident, really positive, really happy.
Yeah.
And then once we complete the tone of voice portion, then I can pass it on to Mel and then she can rewrite any of her parts in that new optimistic, happy voice. Yeah. So you can, I think, work on all the brand core stuff first, and then once you've kind of figured out how your brand is going to speak, you can just go back and tweak things so they're written in the correct tone of voice, I think, if you're not really sure what it is yet.
Yeah, totally. And you need to get it all on paper, and usually from the workshop and the questionnaire, that helps me brief you if you weren't there. So it's like the core parts that if you had no idea what the brand cared about, you wouldn't be able to really write the personality anyway, because you wouldn't know how it came to life. Another really key part in terms of the creative, the overall kind of creative for the brand and the brand identity, is taglines for us. Like, we have to crack the taglines that summarize the personality, the product or service, and the brand. And I think for you and I, if we don't get that up front, we really struggle to position the rest of the brand. So that's often the part that keeps us up till all hours before it's due, and sometimes, like, we've had situations where the reason we can't get the tagline is because of the business name. For example, like, we get briefed that this is the business's name and it's, you know, that's what it's going to be. And then we just feel like once we've done all the personality and everything, that we're like, that doesn't fit. That's not the right name. We need to rename it. And we've had instances where we've done that. And then everything flows because it's like, oh, that is what it should be called because this is what it sounds like. So sometimes if you're like running into, I guess, like, creative roadblocks with your business and brand, maybe it's not quite succinct and you need to rethink. You know, is there things that are set that we could actually change that would make the brand stronger and better and connect more with an audience?
Yeah, we definitely have been known to go back to a brand and say, so about your name.
And usually they're okay with it, so we're lucky.
Yeah. Okay, so that's a really good start for the branding. So we've got the brand idea, which includes all the core stuff, your brand values, your promise, your mission, the tone of voice, your target audience. And then once we've done that, we can start moving into the fun part, which is the visual idea. So maybe tell us a little bit about this, because for most people, I think they would assume it's obviously your colours and fonts, but does it go a little bit deeper than that?
It does. So yes, it is your colours, your fonts, and your logo. But very importantly, we look at how those connect with the brand identity. So the personality traits, keywords, voice, taglines. So part of our process is to actually get all of that content in front of us. And then when we're researching to start with, we'll look at brands that have similar traits or have challenged an industry in a specific way, but they won't be a brand that is in your industry. That's not really kind of how we research. So we're looking for, you know, in another industry, how has this brand like broken into this space and disrupted it? And what is everything they do like? And that's like one of our starting points. The other really important thing is that we don't just think about the logo in its current form. So we might be tasked at the start, like, we need a logo and we need colors and we need some icons and fonts to go with it, and say it's a product, so we know it's going to go on packaging and we know it's going to go on social media, etc. But part of our job is to really think about where will it go beyond that. So will it have an app one day, or will it need a smaller icon version of the logo? How is it represented? So think about like Uber. They have their Uber logo, but then they have their icon that's for Uber Eats and their app. And their actual like rideshare app. So it's part of our job is to think about the future of that branding as well, and how we can make it recognizable without having to change it in 2 years because it evolved.
Okay. Yeah, that makes total sense, because I think a lot of people would just think, cool, now I have to pick some colors. And I think that's where the brand ID comes back into it. So like, other than researching, what is your process once you've got the brand ID? How do you then create the visuals? Do you, like I know you said earlier that if it's going to be, say, a really professional brand or something like that, obviously that would direct the color palette and things like that. So do you kind of break up the brand ID into its parts and then figure out how each of those parts would inspire the creative part of the brand, if that even makes sense?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Kind of. What we really do is look at the whole brand ID, well, as a whole. So, but the way that we go through the process is with like lots of like mini creative milestones, and they're super important for two reasons. One is so that we can work through our process that we know delivers the result that we want, which is a happy client and a really successful brand. And the second part is that the client that we're working with needs to go on that journey with us so that they understand when they're seeing something they like and when they're seeing something they don't like. So, for example, if someone, say the brand personality is like super fun and vibrant, like that, the client might think that that means like yellow, for just as a really basic example. But we wouldn't see yellow at all because we know it needs to go across like different things for whatever reason. So it's really important with our process. So when we do our initial mood boards, we kind of check with the client, here's two directions. This one is very different to the second one. Which do you like and what do you like and why? And then from that point, we then develop the first creative direction. And usually we're showing them different colors. So a client might think that bold colors are red and blue, but they might hate those colors, or they might they might have never imagined that they would have green in their brand. But when they see it, it works perfectly and they love it. So those kind of steps through the creative process help us, to qualify what the client actually wants.
All right. And do you have any top tips for developing your visual branding that not only aligns with the brand but also connects with your audience, which is all the nice important stuff, but then it also has to grab attention and maybe even be a little bit Insta famous?
just getting brief. So I guess from a DIY point of view, so say you're starting a brand and you know that you're disrupting an industry in some way, and you're also, for example, like you want it to be a bit quirky and fun, but you don't have budget for a logo yet, which happens all of the time. So what you could do is do your brand personality yourself if you haven't had it done with a freelancer or an agency, and identify some key personality traits and keywords for your brand voice, so the things that it says. So, for example, instead of saying finance, you say money. So getting those words in front of you and then looking at a font or a color that you feel matches those is the best way to do it. And it can sound a bit tricky if you're not like a designer, but it is also like consumer behavior and psychology, and you'll know if things connect. So if you're just starting out and you don't have like a full brand, visual brand created, you can start with like a wordmark logo. And that means that you use a font and you have that one font and it has specific spacing and it says your brand name. So actually for the Sunday Agency, we've got a wordmark logo. So it's a font that we've tailored slightly, but it's not just the logo that is our brand visuals. We've got loads of other elements that go with it. So starting out, you can come up with like one to two colors, a font that represents your business, and you just consistently use that, and then something else that you can use as body copy, and just put them all on a page together and keep referring to it so that you stay consistent with it.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a bit of a DIY style guide.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, because I know with the Sunday Agency, I feel like you obviously specialize in food and drink, but when I see your word mark, it kind of makes me hungry. Like it's like ice cream or something. It's just so perfect for your brand. So I think, yeah, if anyone is DIYing, just kind of doing a lot of research and spending some time finding the right font for you. And I think once you see it, it will really stand out and it will be quite obvious, and then you can start layering on your colours and things like that.
Yeah, and just if you're not sure of your colours, literally put a box of colours on your page, like open a Word doc and put all the colours, and then just keep placing your like logo, so the font that is your business, over those different colours and see how it makes you feel. Because often you can think like, oh, they'll look really great together, and then once you put them together, especially if it's digital versus print, because colours can show differently on each platform, you realise that it doesn't quite work. So I guess just play around with things until you're happy with it. It's creativity, like it's art. So just, you know, keep playing with it until you're, yeah, fully content.
Yeah, I have learned that the hard way about the digital versus print, because obviously my husband Ben is a designer and I think he might divorce me soon because of my all my unnecessary requests, and I keep trying to get him to perfect my brand colours, which if you've been on my Insta, you'll know I've got quite a few, and I'm such a pain. I'm like, okay, I really want to add yellow, and he's like, okay, cool. I'm like, I want this specific yellow, and he's like, okay, and he shows me, and I'm like, oh, I hate it, get rid of it. I want this yellow, and he's like, this yellow doesn't work with all your other colors, and I'm like, well, why? And he's like, well, when you print this, it's just like a nightmare. So I think having that advice of putting them all on the page is a really good place to start, because often you might have three brand colors, but when you put them side by side, you're like, oh, they don't really go at all.
Yeah. And one of the things that I think, unless you're a designer or work with designers, you don't realize, like, they are trained to know what colors go with what colors. Like, that's what you're paying for. They won't, you know, Ben knows. He knows that that yellow doesn't work because he knows how people view color. And he knows that not all people view color in the same way. So there's lots of things that having an expert, there's value in having an expert with you. But if not, yeah, just play around with it until you find something that works.
Yeah. And another thing that I know you guys do, which I love, is your mood boarding, because that's one of your first steps, isn't it, when you really try and understand or maybe even come up with a couple of concepts to present to a client?
Yes, it is. So it helps us present our ideas to our client, but it also helps us come up with the ideas. So our process is generally to do lots of research and get lots of inspiration, and that can involve anything from Pinterest to Instagram to various brand websites. And what we will do is come up with two concepts that are quite different. So Casey, our creative director, will develop, I would say they're quite polarizing concepts usually. So completely sets of brand color, different sets of brand colors, different styles of logos. So we get them all on pages. So we'll say, like, here's one direction of logo type, fonts and colors, and here's a secondary direction. And then we get our client to feedback, and generally they'll be really clear. So I love option one or I love option two. And sometimes they'll like the colors of option two with the logo type of option one. So it allows us to really understand the client and what they want straight away.
Yeah, and I think that's even a good DIY tip, is just creating two very different mood boards, having a look on Pinterest and pulling some images that are very different vibes, and then adding some colours into each mood board and having a look, taking a step back and thinking about each one of those and figuring out which one aligns with you. And maybe that's kind of your direction solved in just by doing a mood board.
Yes, exactly. And if anyone wants a few steps for doing a mood board, we actually have a blog on our website that is like five steps to the ultimate mood board. So you can
Have
a look. Yeah. So
I can put that in the show notes.
Yeah, perfect. So yeah, we got Tom to interview Casey on mood boarding because we thought that would be a super helpful tool for people, because sometimes people don't even know what mood boarding is.
Yeah.
So it covers what it is as well for anyone listening.
Okay, amazing. And obviously there are so many other tiny little things that we often forget. Mm-hmm. So maybe can you just touch on those things that it's really important to think of during your branding, things like your email signature or your menus, stuff like that?
Yeah, sure. So we call everything that is developed after your visual brand identity, we call that your brand kit. And that's your business cards and your email signatures. As you touched on, it can be like your letterhead, digital or printed versions. It can also be anything that is unique to you. So it might be that if you have a product-based business, it's the unboxing experience, but it's the details. So stickers, tape, stamps, and then into the digital space. So as you would have a sticker, if it's something printed, do you have a digital sticker that you add to your proposals or your presentation? So you've really got to have a think about everywhere your brand will appear and do like a big list, and then that's kind of what gets developed after as your brand kit.
Amazing. So obviously this whole branding process is quite a lot. So I think if you could maybe give us one or two or three of your best tips for DIYing your branding, if you're really trying to keep costs low or you're just in the really early stages of your business, what would you recommend?
Sure. So number one, establish your values. It will just keep you centered and you'll understand what you care about, and you can check back on them to see if what you're choosing, whether it's colors or voice, copywriting, whatever it is actually a representation of what your brand cares about. Two, personality and voice, which is where you come in. So you really want to make sure that you have completely nailed your brand personality and how it talks. Three, your dream customer or your target audience. Don't skip over that. It will really help lead you into the right spaces, choosing the right platforms, the kind of website you'll have. And the fourth is how your visual ID matches those first three things. So if you are DIYing it, making sure that you're choosing colors that represent your brand personality and that your target audience will connect with. So if you're like a super fun and bold brand, does like a grayscale color palette match, and thinking of it that way.
Perfect. Speaking of doing all your research and things like that, is there anywhere that you would recommend or any tools that you rely on for coming up with all of your really unique branding ideas or making the process a little bit easier in general?
Yes. So when we're coming up with ideas, we're spending a lot of time on Pinterest and Behance, which is a great tool that has got like loads of creative agencies projects on. So if you're not sure, you can kind of just go onto the Behance website. So Behance, we can add that to the show notes too. And you can really just look at like, you know, what are restaurants around the world doing, or what is a great new food packaging option, for example. Instagram, Facebook are great for inspiration, and then just lots of like websites and blogs, and you know, you want to find out what other brands that have broken into certain spaces have done, even if they're not in your industry. So that's on the research front. In terms of kind of internal processes and the way that we work, that might help if you are a business owner that's juggling everything, as we know very well, Elise. Mm-hmm. So we actually, all of us have always worked remotely. As we mentioned, I'm in Queensland, you're in Melbourne, so is Casey and Ash, and then we've got Jess in Brisbane and people in New South Wales, everywhere really. So what we use to connect is Slack. So that's super handy. It just cuts down the number of emails. It's basically like an online chat system. I'm not sure if you've spoken about it before, but you can add any of your attachments and you don't lose them. Super helpful. We also use Asana to manage each project. So all of the steps that we've spoken about today are actually like subtasks that we deliver. So all of the whole of our projects get split into subtasks over a timeline. And one that I really love is OurStack. So for me, I've got the agency and the restaurant, which is multiple staff and a whole range of different responsibilities. I have a visual. I use OurStack as a visual to like map out my day. And literally it's in the name, you stack your hours. And it just means that you can see in front of you when your day is a 16-hour day. Like, that's not possible every day. So you can shift your week around, and it just makes me feel more proactive and organized. And if I'm running late on something, I can communicate it well in advance. So yeah, Slack, Asana, and HourStack are my kind of online tools to use.
Love that.
Yeah.
Mel, you are just the cleverest cookie. I think that is all my branding questions for today. So if people would love to work with the Sunday Agency or just maybe hang out on social, where can they find you?
Yeah, so on socials, we're on Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, and Behance, and you can look at the Sunday Agency, and we're Sunday like the ice cream, so S-U-N-D-A-E.
The best kind.
Yes, and then our website is the same, so thesundayagency.com.
And you've also got some amazing blog content on there at the moment. I was stalking it again yesterday, not only because I'm on it, but just...
That is why. Yeah, we do. So we launched the blog about 3 weeks ago, and we've got heaps of content coming out too. So kind of anything from like businessy things that might help, businessy and brand, to food and drink, which is our passion, and also just work that we've done and things about us as well.
Awesome. Yeah, you've got lots of good stuff for DIYers, so head there if you are starting a new brand. But other than that, thank you so much for coming on The Bossy Type, Mel.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Bossy Type. If you haven't already, tap the subscribe button for new episodes every Tuesday and Friday. And if you got something out of this episode, I'd love it if you could rate, review, share on Instagram, text your friends, tell the whole world, all the things. In the meantime, come hang out with me on Instagram at bossy.copywriting or at Elise, spelled A-L-Y-C-E. Bye.